I am Ross Briley, one half of the Ross and Josh Show. I'm joined in the studio by my wonderful cohort, Mr. Joshua Sadley. He's sat there grinning away like he's got something exciting to tell me. Have you got something exciting to tell me, Joshua Sadler?
No.
Yeah!
Whey!
I secretly knew that was the answer. You've not told me anything exciting since 1998.
What was that?
You told me that you had a spare couple of those, you know, those Sherbet UFOs?
I did have a spare couple of those.
Yeah, and you said no one else wanted them.
Flying saucers.
Flying saucers, that's them, yeah. And I had them, and then you said, oh, by the way, I've just dropped them on the floor. But I didn't care because I'm a kid. And
it's a tasty treat, right?
I'd eat sweets from anywhere, pretty much.
It's funny, isn't it? When, you know, once you grow up and, you're a real adult and you've got your own pennies, your own pocket money, you can buy whatever you want, suddenly you don't want flying saucers anymore, do you?
Well, I'd quite like a full-size, proper flying saucer. That'd be amazing.
Yeah? What, just one... You mean an actual spaceship?
An actual spaceship, baby. That's
okay.
On my to-do list. That's
I thought
on
you
my
meant like one giant sherbet-filled rice thing, whatever they were.
Or possibly that, yeah. I mean, my great desire for when I was older was I just hoped to God that they invented an Easter egg that was a cream egg the size of an Easter egg.
I've thought about that before.
And I can't believe they haven't done it. I imagine the manufacturing costs would be... detrimental to the actual... They'd have to sell it for like 50 quid or something. But I'd still buy it.
You would buy one, right? Just to... Yeah. If anything, just to... At some point around then, if you were having a house party or a soiree, whatever sort of bash you like to throw, it would be an impressive thing to show the guests, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know, I reckon there's probably some crazy cat out there on the internet that's made one of these.
Probably, yeah.
So if you have and you're in the Yorkshire area, then tweet in at...
Radio_Yorkshire.
Thank you. I'll learn it one day.
No, and you send won't.
And send us a picture of that honking great egg.
That's lovely that though. That word. Just say that sentence again.
Then send us a picture of your honking great egg.
That's fantastic. Absolutely delightful. I love that. It's the Ross and Josh Show here on Radio Yorkshire. We'll be with you all the way through till the end of time, unfortunately, because all other radio presenters have been obliterated by the coming apocalypse. We'll be talking about all sorts of things. The football season starts today, Josh. You literally couldn't care less, could you?
No.
You don't care about anything, though. That's your problem.
I do care about a few things. One of them is Gennaro Cataldo.
Yeah.
The other is my own bed. Care about that.
You care about your own bed?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't own one, actually, thinking about it.
No, you don't, no.
The place for which my head rests of an evening.
Right, okay. And that's it. What about your girlfriend? Care about her?
Hi, love. You all right? Sorry, I forgot. I put Gennaro above you. I do put Gennaro above her sometimes, and it scares her quite a lot.
Yeah. Do you make
do I dress up as him?
Do you make sweet love and wear a Gennaro mask?
Every time.
Wow.
It's the only thing that does it for both of us.
Incredible scenes.
Incredible.
Incredible. Interessante. It's Radio Yorkshire, and we'll be with you talking about all sorts of things. As I said, not the football season. Well, kind of the football season. I'm going to try and bring it up every now and then, maybe educate you a little bit.
I'm in an open mood. Let's see if you can educate me a little bit about football.
All right. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by FOMO, the fear of missing out. That horrible fear you get in the back of your brain that you've made the wrong choice and that the thing you should have gone to would be a lot better. And those people are having much more fun without you.
I often think that when we start the radio show and what is happening in the rest of the world.
Yeah, you think people are tuning in going... I've made the wrong choice here. This is terrible.
No, I mean that we've made the wrong choice.
Oh, I see. Right, okay. To be fair, yeah, when my alarm went off for the third time this morning and I thought, I don't quite know what day it is because I couldn't sleep very well.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I try all sorts of different things. And what I tried last night was I swapped the bed round. So I moved the pillow to the bottom of the bed and basically I lie facing the other way. So it convinces myself that...
Did it change your feng shui up, did it?
Well, it kind of makes you think, I've just... Because obviously at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, you're like, for God's sake, I've been lying in this bed for 5 hours, 4 hours now. I've got to get up another 3. And your brain's not exactly in, relaxing on Radio Yorkshire mode. So I think if you switch positions, it kind of tricks it. It's almost like, It's a new environment. I'm in bed. Let's go to sleep now.
So new environments are what makes you sleepy. That's the thing that...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you not get that? If I get on a bus or a train or a car or a dog or a horse, then I always fall asleep.
Yeah, well, I suppose so. Sometimes, maybe not for the same reasons as trying to go to sleep, but sometimes I like to go to sleep on the sofa.
I know you do.
Just as a little treat for myself.
That's what I mean. That's like a new environment.
A travelling fragrant vagrant.
A travelling Wilbury.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. New environment. You're getting it.
All right. Well, I suppose it does work
completely.
Then. Yeah.
Or sometimes I go and get in the spare bed upstairs and pretend like it's bedtime again and not halfway through the night when I should be asleep.
Bedtime. On Radio Yorkshire. Bit of whistling there on a song.
I love a bit of whistling on a song.
I was thinking about saying this to you the other day when there was a song with some whistling on it, that not enough songs have got a whistling bit in them.
Right.
But actually, I'm going to retract that statement because I think...
Too many songs.
No, I think just the right amount of songs have got a whistling bit in them. Because every time I hear a whistling bit in a song, I think... I do love a good whistling section.
You do love a good whistling section. In fact, I think you should form a band that just exclusively whistles all its songs.
No, but I think that would be too much of the whistling formula. I think it would, okay. It would be overexposure to it. I mean, I could try it as an experiment. Or maybe I could do that for one of the coming weeks, that I will write a song exclusively and whistle.
Yeah, you could definitely do that. That'd be amazing, yeah.
I mean, would that literally be every single part is whistled, or would we have some actual music in there?
Well, that's up to you, really. Do you know what my favourite whistling song is? Do you want to hear my? Not, I won't play the whole song because it's 5 minutes long. I mean, I could do in a bit, but I just want to. It's pertinent for right now. Obviously.
Okay.
It's you didn't know this. It's "Wind of Change" by the Scorpions. You ready?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know it.
It's good though, isn't it? Don't talk over the whistling.
It's almost mournful whistling, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah.
It's like the winds of... time.
Change.
Change.
Wind, yeah. Of change, it is. Yeah, wind of change. It's quite a politically fueled song, I do believe, I think.
What's that about? Oh, I just heard soldiers passing by.
Yeah.
So that's,
I'm going to have to Google it, but I think it... Hang on.
The sound of a man typing, yeah. On Radio Yorkshire.
Well, it's quite. I quite like the sound of music in the background. It's like an underbed of the Scorpions. Bit more whistling for you. Whistling on Radio Yorkshire. It's great. And it really kicks in about 3.5 minutes. I think it's right. The best thing I remember about this song is I had it on a tape when I used to do my paper round. It was like a rock, the world's greatest rock album 6 or whatever it was.
Right.
And it also had Angel is a Centerfold by the J. Geals Band, which I played beforehand. So I'm going to try and track down that tape and just have a show where I play exclusively songs off there. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Take me to the magic of the moment. On a glory night. Where the children are tomorrow. Right, just imagine me at 9 or 10 years old, and what normal kids would listen to at 9, 10 years old, and me doing a paper round singing Wind of Change to the Scorpions to myself. And
I was listening
along.
To like The Artful Dodger featuring Craig David.
I know you were. What can I say?
This is quite epic.
It is quite epic.
Do you think it's...
Still going. There's still 3 minutes left. There's a whole song for some people.
Well, there was a period of power ballads where it was sort of, you know... It was almost frowned upon to get straight. Like, let's get cracking and get into the song.
Yeah.
It's not good, is it? You've got to take 3 minutes warming yourself up to get to the long high notes.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But a good way to pass the time to get to that is a bit of whistling.
It is, yeah, yeah. Or a bit of a drum fill. A bit of melody. You like the melody?
Yeah.
On a glory night.
I would love to have been there in the practice studio when they were writing this song and been there at the moment when someone went, I think we should have a whistle in this.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The bit where they went, you know what this needs? And you go, no, John, what does it need? And he goes... And he goes, come on, John, tell us.
There's a part of me that feels like the whistle is always the last thing to be added to the song.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the maybe they've already written the song, they're in the studio recording it, and it's just missing something. There's just something that it needs, a little bit extra something. And somebody there, maybe the producer, maybe the third rhythm guitarist that never gets listened to, goes, what about if we had a... What about if we had a whistle on it?
We can't have a whistle, John. We can't have a whistle.
I don't know. I don't think that would be the reaction.
What about guitar solo? What if they whistled the guitar solo? I love those guitar solos as well. That just take their time. It's not like a...
Just ease into
it.
This
is a guitar solo. It's kind of like a... This is a guitar solo. Are you enjoying it? Would you like more of this guitar solo? Because there's more coming. This is still a guitar solo. It's going to lead into something. What could it possibly be? Oh, it's the chorus again. We're the children of tomorrow. Share their dreams. Share their dreams.
With you and me.
With you and me.
Was that your The Darkness remix?
It was, yeah. If could I make a request?
Yeah.
Everything I do, I do it for you. No, that wasn't the request. At some point, can I do a bit on the radio and you sort of do melodies over the back of it? So I'll go, coming up next on Radio Yorkshire, and you go, I'm Radio Yorkshire. Like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right, okay. That'll be coming up in a little bit.
Just the outro.
Yep. Start on a whistle, end on a whistle. That's what my dad always used to say. Best whistling song. That was Wind of Change with the Scorpions.
Oh, that's quite a strong statement there.
No, best whistling song.
I don't know if it is the best whistling
song. Best whistling song.
I don't agree with that.
What happens if I just keep saying it in a higher voice? Would you believe me?
Best whistling song.
Exactly. Exactly that. I love a good whistling song.
Well, maybe we should track some down. And oh, do you know, do they have that as a compilation? You know, every now and then they have like dad rock.
Yeah.
And like... Truckers music, and they like pick things to make a compilation album with. What about a whistling compilation?
No, that's what I call whistling in songs one, because there won't be a two.
There's not going to be a two.
There will not
and
be a two.
I tell you what, it would be a very eclectic mix of music.
It would.
Peppercorn sauce on Radio Yorkshire.
There has been no music, has there, since we stopped listening to what was new?
I found when I was trying to get music for this weekend's show, because all this week we were giving away Leeds Festival tickets, mm-hmm. so I thought, let's celebrate that by mm-hmm. listening to some of the bands who were on the Leeds Festival this year, which admittedly isn't for 3 weeks now, but you can never be too prepared. That's what I've always refused to live by. Yeah, I realised how many bands. I've never heard of them, and I had to Google them. And this is one on Spotify or on the World Wide Web, which I've never said. Never said that. I've suddenly become 10 years older than I actually am. Here,
are you all right?
I think I remember the days when all we had was a Nokia 3310, and that's all you needed really. And if you weren't coming round, you'd just ring someone, and if they weren't in, they'd just never know. Is Josh playing? That's what I miss. I miss knocking on people's doors and asking if they were playing.
Dear.
Simpler times, weren't they?
Just calling on someone.
Should we go and call for Josh?
Yeah, I haven't called for anybody in a long time.
No, but do you not miss that?
A little bit, yeah.
That youthful spontaneity?
Well, I suppose it's because of mobile phones, isn't it?
There's too many ways to get in touch with someone, I feel.
I feel like people might be annoyed if you called for them now. Like, why didn't you ring? I'm not up, I'm not ready. Why don't you give me a phone call? Because I wanted to call for you.
But it used to be a delight.
Yeah.
When someone knocked at the door, you went, oh, I wonder if this is one of my mates calling for me. I wonder what they've got in store. They could have water pistols, for all I know. They could be ready. I could open the door, there could be 50 people going, are you ready for a water fight, Ross? Yeah! I don't think that ever happened, but...
No, but you like to remember it that way.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think the key thing is that when I was a kid, I was very much into American things, music.
Just American anything thing. American.
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah. I had a very American taste. TV, films, music, that kind of thing. Pop culture-wise.
Okay.
Obviously, computer games. Well, obviously, there's like a Japanese influence as well there. But there was very much a desire to have grown up in an American way. And they always seem to be having house parties and random water fights. And I don't know, they'd turn up and there'd be a bouncy castle full of custard. I don't know. Things would happen. Things would happen.
That's not an American thing. In fact, if anything, a bouncy castle full of custard sounds like one of the most English things I've ever... Do they have custard in America?
I would hope so.
Not a bouncy castle full of custard, though.
Can we source a bouncy castle full of custard?
We can source the custard and we can source the bouncy castle.
It's up to me to combine the two.
You've got
to
combine the two. That's what I'm saying.
That's fine. I can do that.
Also, most bouncy castles, the front of them are open, so you're going to be pouring your custard in there. It's just going to be going straight off the front again.
Yeah, but that can entice people in. They could say, "What's all that stuff coming off? Oh, it's custard. Let's get on."
I mean, if you're going to try and pull off a stunt like that, really, you need to maybe get a bit of advice from somebody like Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, or I don't want to get any advice from Noel Edmonds if I can help it.
Dave Benson Phillips.
That would work. He's actually at the Edinburgh Festival this year with the
just milling about or.
No, he's just carrying his gunge tank. Does anyone want to go on with gunge tank?
No, he didn't have a gunge tank. It was more of like a gunge paddling pole, but a big one with the little slide in it.
He essentially had a roof full of gunge, didn't he?
I actually think it could drop
at any time.
I actually think that Get Your Own Back as a live show at the Edinburgh Fringe would be...
Yeah, that's what he's doing. That's what I'm saying to you.
Is he actually?
Yeah, yeah.
Genuinely?
Yeah.
Can we go?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'm going to get my own back on you, Ross.
All right.
I'm going to have to come up with something, though, at the start. You know when they sort of like, so who is it you want to get your own back on? Like, I want to get my own back on my mum. Why? Because she's looks after me and has brought me into this world and spent lots of money on making sure that I get a good education. But I have to do my homework. Okay, well, let's gunge then.
I remember my dentist went on... Get Your Own Back. One of his...
Not with you.
No, not with
me.
I
want to get my own back on my dentist.
No, but someone did. That was someone... Someone took my... They said, I want to get back on my dentist. I think they were related to the dentist as well.
But was it for being a dentist?
I think so, yeah. For causing me... That's a good one, though. For causing me pain on a biannual basis. Physical pain with implements and...
Yeah, but to the benefit of that person eventually.
Yeah, but you're a kid, you don't know that.
That's true. That's true. I'm looking at this through adult eyes.
You're looking at this through jaded, weary adult eyes.
Yeah, which I shouldn't be doing.
No, you shouldn't. You should go round to somebody, call on them, and cover them in gunge.
Who are you gonna get your own back on, Josh? The man.
The man. I'm sticking it to the man.
Putting him in a paddling pool full of gunge.
By going around to Royal Bank of Scotland and throwing gunge on their employees. I'm sorry, sir. We're going to have to ask you to leave and probably close your account. Ah, I don't have an account.
Radio Yorkshire. Our music's like a box of chocolates. Right tasty.
The sky's blue.
It is, which is...
That's the weather on Radio Yorkshire. We're knocking all the balls out of the park today.
Just getting it sorted out.
There are no balls in this park. Because I have knocked them all out.
Have you knocked them into the stadium that's next to the...
Do you know what that stadium is? Do you know what it is?
Is that where they do the... is it the bandy ground?
It's where they... Yeah, it is, yeah.
Is it where they play Tiddlywinks?
It is, yeah. It's the Elland Road Tiddlywink Stadium. The Premier League of Tiddlywinks is kicking off this weekend.
Listen, I would be much more inclined to be into sport if they had more names like Tiddlywinks.
I see, right, for the sport.
Yeah.
If they were more kind of whimsical and jaunty, the names.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it was like, oh, booty ball.
Yeah. booty ball would get me into football, right?
Yeah,
ball is football, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Tennis could be... actually, to be fair, I do really like table tennis, and the other name for that is ping pong, right?
Or whiff waff.
Whiff waff.
Yeah, yeah.
Who calls it whiff waff?
That's a name for table
I like
tennis.
It even more now.
It's even better, yeah.
Whiff waff. Do you want a game of whiff waff?
I'd love a game of whiff waff.
Let me just put my tiddlywink set away, and I'll come and join you.
Are we playing booty ball this afternoon, or is the
Booty ball.
Booty ball.
I feel like you could improve on that.
I think I could as well.
You'll have to try and think of what it would be.
Kick the pig.
Kick.
that's back in the old days when it was made for
okay,
the pig's bladder.
Yeah. So
we're gonna kick the pig. Yeah. Obviously, boys would become confused. Lived on farms. Stop! What are you doing? Give a kick the pig. I'm going to have forward a glittering career. Give an England international for kicking for kick picking, kick picking.
Are you all right?
What's I don't know.
Let's get back to Tiddlywinks, shall we? That was safe for ground.
That's probably for the best. And we'll also be talking more about festival stories. So, yep. So we went to a festival in Somerset.
A festival
last weekend. Well, it was several stages and tents in a field.
Yep.
That is
a festival.
What class is a festival?
That.
There you go, then.
I think just enough people together in a field, maybe with more than one thing happening, in terms of, like, there has to be a shop and some music.
Yeah, so if I just took, like, a trestle table down to my local sports field and just lined up, I don't know, a selection of savoury picnic objects and play music over it, it wouldn't be a festival. But if you did it as well, it would be.
It would be a festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can buy tickets to that online at we don't have a...
It's savourypicnicfestivalnorthleeds.co.uk.
That's a good URL, man.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Yeah,
you must have paid a lot for that.
I registered that 6 years ago.
You, the foresight you must have had.
In anticipation of this very event. So... There you go.
You've done well. Down. You've done well there.
You can, I mean, you can come and buy savoury picnic items, or you can bring your own. We don't discriminate.
Will there
here
be
at Savoury Picnic Festival North Leeds?
Will there be continental meats and cheeses?
Yes, there will be. Yes.
Will there be dill pickles?
One. There'll be one dill pickle.
Will there
it's
be
first come first serve with the dill pickle? I'm afraid.
Will there be Branston based pickles?
No, I'm sorry, we couldn't get the sponsorship.
Will there be pickled eggs?
There will be pickled eggs, yes. There'll be a jar of pickled eggs, but nobody's been able to open them yet.
Okay, so it's like a...
It's like the sword in the stone. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay. The egg in the jar.
The egg in the jar, yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. So we'll be talking about festivals. That festival, if you want to come along, send me £100.
we will do it. We're going to do a Kickstarter.
Yeah, we are going to do we should definitely do a Kickstarter for that.
What was the name of the festival again?
Savoury Picnic... I can't remember. I'll listen back.
Savoury Picnic Snacks, northleeds.co.uk.
Northleeds.co.uk, yeah. So Jake Donaldson will be joining us. We're talking about festivals. A little bit later on today as well, we'll be going through my book of childhood stories.
I'm excited about this.
I'm really excited about this. This is a book that I think I was about 11 at the time, and it's filled with absolute delights. In particular, not only childhood stories, but also made-up football results, which is perfect for today. Because it's the first day of the football season. So right now, all these results could potentially come true. You never know. Arsenal could lose 3-2 to Blackburn with Tim Sherwood scoring the winning goal. That's what I've got in my book here. That's what I've got in my book.
That's probably what's happened.
Liverpool could beat Crystal Palace 2-0 with Ian Rush and Robbie Fowler on the score sheet. Who knows? It could happen.
See, you're laughing slightly at this, but I've got literally no idea why it's funny.
Well, it's fantastic. In fact, Leeds United, according to my results tracker here, they are going to beat Coventry 3-2 with Tony Yeboah, Rod Wallace. No, two from Tony Yeboah and one from Rod Wallace. And Coventry's goals will come from Willie Boland and Peter Undlove.
Peppercorn sauce on Radio Yorkshire.
We're delighted to be joined by... Well, I'm delighted to be joined by someone who's not you, for a start. It's Mr. Jake Donaldson in the studio. Jake Donaldson, everybody.
Hello.
There we go. Jake Donaldson in the studio, everybody.
Hello.
There we go. Fantastic. Yeah, one applause to Jake for coming in and saving me from the fate that is a life staring at Josh.
I thought it was my duty, really. That was, it's nice to be here, though. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. I appreciate you stepping into the tiny onion-like breach that Josh has left. There's just a... I don't know if you can see the vapour trail, the onion vapour trail.
Yeah, it's visible, it's pungent.
It is, it's palpable. That's the mix between palpable and palatable.
So it's not palatable, though, is it?
It's not palatable. That's the very opposite of what it is. Jake, a warm welcome to the Radio Yorkshire studios, quite literally, because A, it's a lovely day, and B, it's boiling in here.
It is. It's red hot.
So it is quite literally a warm welcome. I do believe you just came in and you've done something that I never thought one of our guests would do. And you've done a tiny bit of research on something that we've talked about.
I have, yeah.
And I'm incredible. You could learn a lot.
I mean, don't do that. Do we?
You could learn a lot from this man.
Yeah.
You'd be trying to write the travel bulletin for 90 minutes. You haven't even done it yet. But Jake's come in, literally walks in. Oh, I've got stuff to talk about. Yeah.
Well, let's do that then.
It's Brett. Whistling songs, Jake.
Whistling songs. Yeah, well, basically, I was listening to the show before I got here, and I thought, oh, I don't know any songs with whistling in. So I did a Google search, and I've come up with my favourite whistling song, which is the Colonel Bogey March from Bridge Over the River Kwai. Which I are you aware of the song?
I don't think I am, no.
It's the one that I think it goes...
Okay, yeah, of course.
Of course.
It's legendary.
The most famous
whistling song. I didn't realise it had a name.
Yeah, well, neither did I until I Googled it.
Wow. Can you do the whole thing?
No.
I don't think most people would know it as the Colonel Bogey March from Bridge Over the River Kwai.
What would you know about it?
You would know it as Adolf Has Only Got One of These, I think. That's the thing that you would usually...
Yeah, fair enough.
The other is in the Albert Hall.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I've been to see it.
That would be strange, wouldn't it, if they just had one tiny glass exhibition box.
What's that over there? You know. Oh, right, fair enough. It's not a rumour, it's actually happened.
Is that his? Yeah. Oh, well, there we go.
Well.
Where's the other one? His mother's got it.
The song is true. What if it turned out that all songs were true? That's too big a concept.
Yeah, it's too big a concept.
Oh, what would that mean? I don't know.
That would mean that a Wonderwall would have to be a thing.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I've got one at the bottom of my garden.
Okay.
That's fantastic. You should come around and see it. Jake, what else have you been up to in life?
I've been preparing. I'm going up to the Edinburgh Fringe next week to do my own show. I'm a stand-up comedian, so that's going on up next week. So I've been a lot of tirelessly running around all of Britain trying to do preview shows to three people in Norfolk.
Three? You lucky man.
Yeah, I know. That's more than I'm expecting to turn up in Edinburgh. So
that's... Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's do you know what your room is? Is it a... Did it used to be a I don't know, a telephone box or...
I genuinely, I've got two rooms. One of them is...
Two rooms?
Yeah, I know, it's weird. I do two shows a day. One of them is if you happen to want some Mexican food and you go to Chiquito in Edinburgh on Frederick Street and then need to go and relieve yourself at any point and you wander downstairs and you find yourself in a gig, that's my gig.
That's right, okay.
So, I think I did that one a couple of years ago in Edinburgh.
No, it wasn't. You did do one in a...
It was La Tasca. But it was also on the way down to the toilets. They had a little gig room down at the bottom.
It's the same thing with people who live in Edinburgh or whatever, literally going, is there anywhere around here we can put a comedian?
Yeah.
Either to sleep or to gig or something. Can we charge people a lot of money to do something in this room that previously was reserved for nothing more than storing household items and implements?
I'm pretty sure that the other room that I'm in is only used during the Fringe, so it's still got all the posters and gig stuff up from last year's shows.
Right.
So we're going to have to clear those out when we get up there.
That's always a good start.
Yeah, I know.
It's always a good start.
Are you doing two separate shows then?
Well, I've got one show that's on twice a day, but then I'm also doing... That's the sort of the proper one, and then there's one that I'm more excited about, which is...
you're doing one show twice a day?
Yeah, it's...
You gone mad?
Possibly, quite possibly.
He will have done by the end of it, if not, yeah.
I don't think I'll actually be able to be awake anymore at the end of it all.
You will. You just won't be able to sleep. That's the difference. The horrors will be...
Just rocking back and forward, just clutching my own legs.
Well, is Jake all right? He went to Edinburgh. Right. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
But I've got this other show that I'm more excited about, which is the one... Because I'm a big comic book nerd, and this is a show that's... it's a 45-minute presentation about comic book characters that no one remembers.
Right, okay.
Which sounds niche, but it's the more exciting of the two.
Well, obviously for you it's very exciting because you are in that niche.
Well, yeah.
And the people, if anyone who comes along, and you're going to get a fair old mix, I think, for your normal show. You're going to get people who just, like you said, are going to the toilet. For the other one, you're going to get people who've gone, this is exactly what I've always wanted to see.
Yeah, and then also the people who are just going to the toilet as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And go, what's he talking about? Who's, such as what? Just give us a rough taste of what kind of, how... forgotten.
Well, it's sort of characters that were only in ever like one or two issues of a book or something like that no one remembers. So there's a character who, in the 80s, it was sort of breakdancing was a big thing, so they created a superhero called...
My granddad.
Yeah, I know. It's a superhero called, I think he's called Vibe, and his power was he could do breakdancing, and when he did breakdancing, it like shot power waves out of himself or something like that, but only when he was breakdancing.
This sounds like something that should be in here that I've invented. This is amazing. Well, like for example, my favourite villain... is Cardiac,
yeah.
Who I only remember because I bought a copy of Amazing Spider-Man. I used to buy lots of comics on especially on holiday. We'd go on holiday.
Yeah.
They seem to, in Turkey and the Canary Islands, whenever we went on holiday, there seemed to be an abundance of Spider-Man comics. And I was like, I'll buy all these. And I just remember one was Cardiac, and it was because I really liked, it was a guy who had a giant staff. You would shock people and give them heart attacks.
Yeah, I know. It's a very odd concept, I think, but one that I think it was short-lived. We should bring Cardia back.
I think we should, yeah, because especially because he's like, shocked you, and you go, oh, my left arm's hurting. Oh, I think I might need to lie down. No, I think it's worse than indigestion. No, I think, could someone phone an ambulance and he'd be there? It'd be take hours for Cardiac to finish off his enemies.
Do you think they could bring him back as part of Crank 3?
They could definitely do that, yeah.
It would kind of ruin the film, though, wouldn't it? Because if he was just there every time Jason Statham was running low, just give him a quick one of them.
Oh, thanks, Cardiac. Thanks so very much, now. Buddy. That's, thank God we brought you back from whichever 15 years ago in Amazing Spider-Man. He's not much of a... He wasn't much of a villain.
No.
A villain.
I think he's sort of retired now. He's working for the St. John's Ambulance. Using his stick as a defibrillator.
Don't I know you from somewhere? No.
No, it was a different man.
A different man.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
What would your specialist subject be if you were on Mastermind?
I think probably...
Hang on. Is it something like Spanish history from the 1600s or something?
It would be pre-Columbian civilizations in the Americas.
Do you actually know anything about it? Give me an example of a pre-Columbian whatever it was.
Jake's lost interest halfway through the sentence. That's fine.
Pre-Columbian is in before Christopher Columbus got to the Americas. And the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans... the mocha, I think.
That's a coffee.
You're just like the lattes.
The lattes, the frappuccinos. They were a big one down in Chile.
Obvious good one. Was that a joke? Was that an intentional joke?
No.
It was a good one nonetheless. Thanks.
Well, there we go.
Good work. What do you? Why?
I don't know. I just got interested in it, and then
did you fall asleep in a car boot with a book or something? For like, I'm in here for a week. I might as well learn
about it.
Yeah.
No, but that would be another way of me gaining knowledge on something.
It would be. We were trying to establish last night whether Josh had any common sense whatsoever, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't have any. How's your common sense levels, Jake?
I don't know. My common sense isn't very good, but my common knowledge is all right. I'm quite good at quizzes and things like that.
You were on Pointless, weren't you?
Yeah, this gets trolled up every time I go anywhere.
Well, that's because you put a photo of it on social media.
Yeah, okay,
so...
fair enough. That is my fault.
It's like, people are always mentioning the T-shirt I wear. And it's like, well, stop wearing the T-shirt. Oh, well, yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, I was on Pointless about a year ago now, I
think. Okay. It was broadcast a year ago, or what?
No, we recorded it on the 1st of April last year, so over a year ago, and then it was broadcast I think in January, something like that, but we got quite famous off of it, like for about half an hour.
that's more than the 5 minutes Sandy Warhol assigned you, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
15 minutes. No,
I feel like we're lucky for that. That's but we got like loads of tweets from people and things like that, and most of them quite nice, saying that they enjoyed us because we were sort of having a laugh on the show and that kind of thing.
Who did you go on with?
It was with my housemate at the time when I was at university, a guy called Reese, who is a bit...
Did he go to pieces?
Yeah, he did, to be honest. I definitely did all of the work.
I know how that feels.
I remember one of the questions we got in like the trial bit we were doing was it was words ending in ARM, and you could have said any word that you wanted to, and my housemate said arm.
God.
And he studied English at the time as well.
Was that a high-scoring answer?
You know what, it wasn't.
Was it genuinely not?
No, it was quite good, actually. It scored less than Farm, which was I think that was good.
It's quite literally hidden in plain sight, that one.
I think that was his thoughts. Yeah, I think that's how it worked. But it was good for us. Although at the end that we failed, we got to the final bit, and our last question was about. It was about UK garage music, which we picked because we didn't know what that was.
I would know about that.
Really?
That's where I would fill in the gap in the knowledge.
Why? Was UK garage big on the pre-Columbian scene? Was that it? The Aztecs loved a bit of Craig David.
Listen, Craig David just stole all his riffs from the Incas.
from the Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia's in Mesopotamia. The Middle East.
Is that a completely different place?
It's a completely different place.
What am I thinking
of? You're thinking Mesoamerica.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Thanks very much.
That's all right.
Thanks for coming in.
Pre-Columbian history on Radio Yorkshire.
You might be excited about the Leeds United match this afternoon, but here on Radio Yorkshire, we're covering pre-Columbian history. That's right. Joshua Sadler's in the studio. What do you think to this afternoon's big pre-Columbian clash?
Tenochtitlan versus the town of Oxatl on which takes place in Mexico City. I'm very excited about it. You know, Montezuma's shaping up as a big favourite for this match.
Yeah.
He's been touted.
For his revenge?
He is, funnily enough. That's good. I'm very excited about it.
This is Radio Yorkshire.
I feel like Bobby Beavers is someone that, like we were saying earlier about when you see the lead singer from a band and they look nothing like you expect them to, and it's sort of disappointing.
Yeah.
I have the similar feeling about Bobby Beavers, and as far as I'm aware now, he's just sort of a mythical creature that only exists within Radio Yorkshire and your imagination. But
Do you think I created that jingle specifically for a man who doesn't exist?
I think you would go to that much effort, yeah.
Oh, I would, without a shadow of a doubt, but I haven't.
To goad me into thinking that Bobby Beavers is a real person.
Yeah, no, he is a real person. How do you imagine him when I say it?
Bobby Beavers?
Yeah.
I think I sort of expect him to be like, you know Bully off Bullseye?
Yes.
Like, if he was a beaver.
Right.
So, sort of like... with sovereign rings on and like pub attire and darts and things, and probably beavers tattooed across his knuckles.
How many do beavers have knuckles?
Yes, that's what I was just thinking about. That. How many?
Google: Do beavers have knuckles? It's one of my favourite Google searches of all time, I think.
That's what I imagine him to look like. But obviously, he's a man, so he's not going to look like that.
Or is he?
Well, yeah, maybe it doesn't Radio exist.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
When I was a child, I wanted to be a detective. And in fact, I got a magnifying glass so that I looked like a detective. And I used to go around like looking for my magnifying glass, trying to solve mysteries. Like the mystery of why all these ants kept dying.
I think it's about time for the travel, don't you?
I suppose so.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the travel with Mr. Joshua Sadler.
Radio Yorkshire, traffic and travel.
An accident on the M62 is causing delays near the town of Eggborough after Fred Durst, on his way to the Leeds Festival, has torn apart the local spa. He cannot believe that Eggborough isn't where eggs are actually from. Eyewitnesses reported Durst leaving the scene shouting, "You expect me to believe that there's a magical bird that just makes eggs? Yeah, right." A zombie apocalypse has broken out near Doncaster, causing delays on the M18. The zombie horde has been seen moving towards Cartcraft on account of the great prices of sofas this weekend. It's our biggest ever sale at Zombie Sofas. Crazy, amazing prices. Buy one sofa, get a whole three-piece suite for free. But hurry, offer ends on Sunday. Cars have four wheels and are powered by the combustion engine using petroleum. Cars are favoured by the musical artist Gary Newman and Madness. Cars were invented by Harrison Ford, also the inventor of the tractor, as a way of getting to and from the set of Star Wars. Here's the small print. All traffic reports are written and performed, butchered by Joshua Sadler. Terms and conditions apply. Refunds not available. See you in store for details and will never be old. Traffic content is utter nonsense. Thank you. Love you all. The traffic, and that's it. Thanks. Joshua Sadler. Bye.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
I think you could, if you can tweet while simultaneously fighting off a zombie with a stick, then you're going to survive the apocalypse.
Is that the updated version of the Rudyard Kipling?
Then yours is the Earth, my son.
The scorched, zombie-filled Earth. So, congratulations.
Yeah, I love zombie films, though. Do you like zombie films?
Absolutely love zombie films. Almost too much, I think.
Yeah, what's your favourite one?
Have you seen Dance of the Dead?
No.
You should see Dance of the Dead. It's not my favourite one, but it's one that I recommend to people if they like zombie films.
Yeah.
It was about a high school dance in America, and obviously zombies then break out. I think you can insert zombies into literally any scenario of any film, and it makes it better.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was actually really good.
Have you seen Cockneys versus Zombies?
I started watching Cockneys versus Zombies, and then I was distracted by...
by Cockneys and Zombies.
By something that wasn't Cockneys or Zombies, so I'd never finished it. But I should definitely go back and finish that. I do love a good zombie film. What's the worst zombie film you've ever seen?
Oh, God, there's one, and it's one of the... I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the first one that... George Clooney did. It was like one of his first ever films.
Wow.
And it's about zombies, and it's from like the 70s or something. But it's like made on a really low budget, and it's terrible. Like, there's a bit where the zombie... the face stuff, like the prosthetic they've got on his face, just comes off. But they left it in the film because they couldn't do a retake.
We just haven't got enough physical film to do any more of this. We're just going to have to carry on. It's fine. Just a zombie going, oh, let me carry on. That's fine. You moved to Yorkshire. How long have you been here?
In 5 years now I've moved here.
Five years ago.
Because I moved here for university way back. And I went to Leeds Met. It's called Leeds Beckett now, though, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
It's changed its name. I'm not going to say what I thought of it.
It was an expensive rebranding exercise, and good on them.
Yes. let's say that. I moved here for then, and I got a job when I moved here, though, just to pay bills and stuff, and it was
what sort of job? That's the purpose of a job.
but it was a weird job. I quite enjoyed it, but I was working at Huddersfield Fruit and Veg Market. It's something famous about that market. Apparently, it's like the world's only tridecimal something or other built market in the world, or something like that, which they would endlessly go on about. But when we were working there, I was in the fruit and veg stall, and opposite me, there was a guy who sold sort of like electronic goods and things like that. And one morning we were working there, it was about sort of 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and the police came up and they arrested him. And then when we tried to find out why he'd been arrested, it was because he was selling iPads. But what he'd been doing is just getting a box, writing iPad on it, and then he got some floor tiling, and he just took one floor tile, slapped an Apple logo sticker on the back of it, and then wrapped it in bubble wrap, put it in the box that said iPad, and sold it to people as an iPad for 50 quid. So he got arrested for doing that. But I think if you're dumb enough to buy that and thinking it's an iPad, you deserve to get a tile in a box.
This is like if the burglars can get in through the top window, they deserve it. If migrants can get in with a 4-digit code into the country, they deserve a passport.
Exactly.
If you buy a box that says iPad written in permanent marker on the front of it, wrapped in bubble wrap, you deserve it.
This is the thing. I do think that people, you do get what you deserve mostly in life, in many ways. And but people go, well, this is abhorrent. Did you think about it beforehand? Well, I did think it was slightly too good to be true that there was a man down the market selling me iPads that were curiously heavy, actually, and also I'm missing a couple of tiles off the top of me. It's floor tiles, wasn't it? Wasn't it? I was thinking off the roof. Maybe that's it. Just come and take it off your roof. Yeah. That'd be even better if he'd come in. If he was fitting your new floor and he'd taken the old tiles away and then resold them back to you as iPads.
As an iPad.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Also, surely you're just going to go back.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I
hit
never
him
saw...
with a floor tile. Yeah.
I never saw anyone come back at all. I think maybe they were just too embarrassed.
That is the key thing, isn't it? That's what I've heard this a lot about. When people get conned, they're so embarrassed by getting conned for it that they just don't report it.
Do you know what it is? They're thinking, I deserve this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've duped myself into this. I deserve it. I've actually, there's almost exactly the same tale as that, although in this particular one, I was the fruit seller.
This particular one?
This particular one.
Very Gennaro.
I know. I was the fruit seller. I used to work at a fruit-based technology company. I'm sure you can work out which one. We weren't selling Granny Smiths or Costas. we were selling shiny silver laptops.
Yeah,
and
we
phones.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah, good. We got it. Yeah.
Somebody had bought an iPhone, and they came back to return it. And what they'd done was, they managed to put the cellophane wrap back around the box. So somebody in the store just returned the phone, no questions asked, gave them a refund. And anyway, when we opened it up to have a look inside, there was a baked potato in it.
Did he get away with it?
Yes.
He did? Oh, I didn't realise that was part of the story. I didn't realise he actually got away with it.
Yeah.
Again, you deserve that for that kind of bare-faced cheat.
Yeah. Was the potato actually baked? Had it been cooked? Or... Yeah.
It was an actual baked potato.
That's the key
thing.
It
wasn't Brian Harvey, by the way.
It was. No, he'd eat them all.
He'd eat all the baked potatoes.
I was just worried about that, the same thing, where a guy bought a bag of crisps and then when he opened it, there was just one potato in the bag. But like, that's like, how do you not know when you pick up a bag of crisps that surely you can feel that there's a potato in it?
Maybe he thought it was like, you know how they started reintroducing, you know how they started reintroducing the crisps where you have to put your own salt on? It's just that taken a step further.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Well, did you know, Jake, that Des Lynam had a naughty word tattooed on his top lip as a student, and that's why he's never shaved his moustache off?
Wow.
Is that true?
I can't
tell either. He's got a poker face on him.
It's so absurd that it could be true. It's almost gone 360.
Yeah, I know, but there are some facts that I know for definite are true that seem ridiculously absurd.
Okay.
Like,
are these genuine facts? Are these real facts?
Yeah, like, my favourite one is that, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, J-Law, the actress.
Sorry, what?
J-Law. Right, that's her name, apparently. Right.
Are you that close, or you've got a nickname for her?
Yeah, like, old Jenny.
I didn't have many friends at school, but now I'm friends with Jennifer Lawrence, so it's really made up for it.
It's true. She is fully trained in how to skin squirrels. And like, that's an actual fact, because apparently she did like a film where that was the thing that she had to do. But like, you say that to anyone and they just go, you what, mate?
Maybe you should start with hello, how are you first.
Not just walk up to people, like, did you know Jennifer Lawrence can do this?
Yes.
All right, I thought you meant to walk up to, like, okay, so if Jennifer Lawrence goes up to somebody, she goes, I know how to skin a squirrel because I was in the Hunger Games and that was something that I needed to do it. That's fine. But just if anybody off the street comes up to you and goes, I know how to skin a squirrel. Then that is not fine.
Unless it's Jennifer Lawrence, yeah.
Unless it's Jennifer Lawrence. Because then you go, oh, because of the Hunger Games. You go, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, I get that.
Or I do think that due to social norms and whatnot, as a man, you are kind of, you're programmed to, if it was any attractive woman said that, you'd be like, oh, okay, do you want to tell me about it? If it was a bloke, obviously, you'd be terrified and run.
If you just, I can skin an animal.
Yeah, but do you want a coffee or a tea? I'll have a tea, please. And some of those skin squirrels. On Radio Yorkshire. All right, so Jennifer Lawrence can skin a squirrel.
Yeah.
Is the title of my next book.
Other animal-related ones Christopher Walken, actor Christopher Walken.
You don't need to introduce us to Christopher Walken.
No, he started out as a lion tamer. Like a genuine thing. I assume when I read it, it said Christopher Walken was originally a lion tamer. I assume they mean like,
wow,
that was his first job, not he came
crazy.
Out of... What, can you do your best? From... Do your best Christopher Walken impression?
Oh, no.
I think
that was it, and it was terrible.
And he's from Malibu Beach, apparently, and he's 17 years old. And he's a woman. Yeah, all I can do is, wow, that's literally all I've got.
I think we should, a zombie film with Christopher Walken in it would be great.
A zombie film
the
with
Walken
only...
The Walken Dead.
sorry, John.
Oh, is it really, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's,
It would be amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't do an impression of Christopher Walken either, but...
Do we have the jingle?
What jingle?
Of the Walken Dead thing that we did.
Maybe.
All right, well, we'll have a look for that.
I'll have a look for that. Yeah. But what can he do?
He can. He was a lion tamer.
Right.
That was
okay.
His original thing. I assume it's sort of like in a circus or like in. Or
you'd
in
hope
a zoo.
So.
I think they're two separate types of lion tamer. I don't know which one the best is. That's a Radio Yorkshire feature. That. Which is the best type of lion tamer?
We could get two lion tamers in. to pit their wits against each
good.
Other.
Good. I'm glad you said that, because I thought you were just going to go, why don't we get two lions in? Yeah.
get two lions in, and you two have to tame one each. We could do like that.
Like right. some sort of weird game show element.
Yeah, that ends in your imminent death. And probably mine as well, because there's not a lot I can do about
it. Once the lions have turned on us, then they're gonna go for you next.
Yeah, I mean, the zombies are at Catterick Bridge. The world's gone to pot, basically. Yorkshire is getting torn apart by zombies and lions. Okay, so Jennifer Lawrence can skin a squirrel. Yeah. Christopher Walken's a lion tamer.
I don't know, my other favourite ones tend to be things like to do with people's names, like Michael J. Fox. His middle name's actually Andrew. That just interesting, because he's not, that's not a name. That's, well, I mean, it is, but
yeah, but because if he actually did it, his name would be Michael A. Fox.
That just sounds like a
comma. That's a comma,
yeah. Yeah, it sounds like a warning, doesn't it?
Hi, Michael, I'm Michael, a fox.
Can I introduce you to Jennifer Lawrence? Don't skin him. Hi, I'm Michael a fox, and I'm here to tell you about, well, being a fox, basically. Fantastic. Anything else?
Yeah, the only other one is Halle Berry. She apparently is named after a department store.
Woolworths. Yeah,
that would be great. That was her real name, Halle Woolworths.
Just Woolworths. Hi, I'm Woolworths.
Yeah, no, apparently that's a thing she was named after. Like, there's a department store called Halle's or something like that, and her mum really liked it, and then she was named after that. So
for me, she also liked berries as well. But then I realised that's her surname.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's her surname.
No.
And one more. Have you got any more facts?
Not off the top of my head. I'll have to.
Oh, you've only got four. I thought you had five.
Those were four of my favourite ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have a think of another one in the next song.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
But what have you found in my attic, Josh?
Is that a euphemism?
if you like.
I don't know what for. I haven't found this. You found this.
I did find this, but you found it very amusing.
I did find it very amusing. A Book of Stories by Ross Briley.
Yeah.
It's in a sort of lovely... Bookie's book.
It's a ledger,
and you wrote it with a tiny pen as well, didn't you?
I did.
But I like that. It starts off this book on the inlay contents. But
this is, like I say, when I was 11 years old, this was my creative output, essentially.
Yeah, and we're basically, what we're looking at here is,
because people didn't pay me to talk nonsense then, I had to do it.
You had to write nonsense.
I had to write nonsense for free.
But this is kind of an overview of the young author Ross Briley. It's a short career, contents page. There's three stories on page one, page three, and page seven, and then the rest of the page is blank.
Look, I think there's a big market for seven-page books.
And I would happily read them. The first one, so you dive straight in here. Straight in, and what better way to?
I'm very much the Michael Bay of
this
books.
Could be a Michael Bay film, this first one. It's simply entitled...
It's all the subtlety and nuance of a Michael Bay film.
It's simply entitled, Whoa! in capital letters with an exclamation mark. It's got really
What's
good illustrations as well. Well, we shall see.
It's a tender portrait of two star-crossed lovers. It's
a slapstick comedy, I think.
It's about war.
If the title hadn't got you, then the opening sentence will. The Third World War had just began.
Had just began?
Yeah, began. I'm reading it verbatim. Or verbatim, as you said the other day, with no sense of irony whatsoever. How did you do that?
Because I've never said the word out loud, and then my brain realised that that's
any
the
of the words that you could have said wrong.
Because he's a pedant.
Good, I like that. That was good. Anyway,
War. The Third World War had just begun. Brackets. The year is 2001, by the way. There was no peace anywhere. The USA was being sabotaged. The war was started by Adolf Hitler's brother.
He's pretty old by now, by the way.
He's basically a head in a jar at this age.
Look, this was in 1995, so it was perfectly possible to me that in 6 years, a head in a jar could have started a world war.
How old were you? You were 10. So that was half of your life again on top of it, so it's understandable.
Exactly. I'd gone through a lot of things. If you go back... The same period of time from when I wrote that to when I think it's based. If I go back the same amount of time to when I was four, I'm like, wow, you know, of course, a lot of things
have happened since then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the war was started by Adolf Hitler's brother.
I nearly
brother.
Kissed the girl by then.
Had you?
Almost.
Well, that's a shame. He had the ultimate weapon, the double 52Z laser cannon, which is a printer by the sounds of it.
Adolf Hitler's brother has started the Third World War with a printer.
To be fair, if he'd got a 3D printer, he might be able to create something, some sort of weapon.
I will take... Oh, I've run out of toner.
Go, go, go! Shouted the captain of the USA flight squadron. The stealth fighters set off for the attack. The fighters were equipped with missiles and machine guns on the front. They had...
Are there machine guns on the front of the missiles? This is a bit I never knew.
The fighters were equipped with missiles and machine guns... With missiles and machine guns on the front.
So are they both on the front of the fighters, or are the machine guns on front of the missiles? Because if not, I've invented a really fantastic...
No, I don't. I think there are machine guns on the front of the fighters,
right,
and they have missiles.
Right.
They had giant rocket boosters, and they had... They had at least 14 men inside altogether. They had 7 stealth fighters altogether, with 2 men in each one. One piloting and one... working on the machine guns inside. What I will say about the young Briley here as a writer is certain areas you love to have detail about.
Yeah.
Other areas, no explanation whatsoever.
Have you read a book called The Mezzanine?
No.
You should buy a book called The Mezzanine. Basically, it's a whole book based on one man's lunch hour. And he goes into obscene detail about his shoelaces, the food he eats, like a travel. He travels up an escalator, and that's like 4 or 5 pages of him thinking about the escalator and all the things. And that's essentially what I was trying to replicate.
What you're aspiring to be.
Yeah.
See, you've got that throughout most of the story, but what you haven't done is. So, for instance, let me. I'm just going to skip forward a little bit to a bit of the dialogue. The sliding doors on the side open, and he shoots out of them. So this is to do with the stealth. Bomber fighter.
Right.
Stealth HIT-6 calling stealth HIT-2. Come in, HIT-2, said Rob. Who's Rob?
Rob is clearly the main character.
The USA was up against it. Not one, not two, but 7 of Germany's best fighters. Dan, let's
That's
go.
Right.
Well, who is Dan?
Dan's Rob's mate.
So anyway, Dan comes along, and then later we have Axel. He's brought along in there.
Can
Brad.
You tell I was playing Streets of Rage at the time?
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. And the guy is on roller skates as well. So what we've found out here is that you, by the second story, have learnt your lesson. That someone's obviously give you some feedback to say you really need to introduce the characters a little bit more.
I think that was the feedback I got. Yeah.
Okay. Have we got time for me to just read out the first paragraph
of this? If you quick, yeah.
Okay. So the next story is called School Trip from Hell, right? Right, everybody, sit down, shouted Mrs. Pilkington at class 4, clambering into the coach. Right, I'm going to call the register, so be quiet, everybody. Andrew Hedgley, yes. Peter Kirk, yes. Judy Rose, yes. Daniel Connors, yes. Lucy Albany, yes. Not in alphabetical order, just any order. Natasha Stokes, yes.
Height
Robert
order.
York, yes. Paul Hingleberry, yes. Gary Slater, are these real people or did you make them up?
No, I made them up.
Very imaginative. Yes. Joanna Moore, yes. Emma Gill, yes. Ricky Kelshaw, yes. Kelly Fiddler, yes. Chloe Bellamy, yes. Ben Rowe, yes. Rachel Steele, yes. Maria Curtis, yes. Richard Dalton, yes. Alistair Johnson, yes. Zach Campbell, yes. Luke Campbell, yes. Lauren Newsom, yes. Dino Flancino.
He was clearly a foreign exchange
yes.
student.
I feel like someone's gone to you. These are very white middle class names you're using here, Ross.
Let's mix it up a bit.
Mr. Kitson, Mr. Bradbury and Mr. Parkin stepped onto the bus. Sorry we're late, no time to explain. Start the coach, said Mrs. Parkin. They arrived outside a big mansion. And then you're straight into the story.
Straight in.
I'd love to see that.
Introduce the characters, baby.
I'd love to see that as a film scene. It just takes 3 minutes to do that.
I think the thing is, I had an obsession with ensemble casts. I'm very much the Quentin Tarantino. Very much the Quentin Tarantino. It's the Avengers. This is an early draft of the Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, it is good. I haven't actually read the rest of the story, so maybe I'm going to save that. I'll do a little bit more analysis on the young Briley, and next week...
I think next week we should act one of these out as a radio play.
Okay. Well, maybe we could do the School Trip from Hell. I'll give you a little spoiler. Dino Flancino's got a big part in this one.
That's got a big part.
It features heavily in it.
I think the problem with acting that one out is there's not enough room in the studio to get everyone in to play all the characters. Anyway, it's story hour here on Radio Yorkshire. If you've tuned in for the build-up to the Leeds United match, you're very confused right now.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Weather reports, it's a blue sky, I can see two clouds.
Weather on Radio Yorkshire.
Radio Yorkshire. Jake Johnson's in the studio.
Hello.
For the next 2 minutes. We're going to kick you out. Have you enjoyed yourself?
It's been lovely. Thank you very much for having me.
You are more than welcome. You're off to the Edinburgh Festival.
I am. I should plug my show, shouldn't I?
Yeah, why not?
It's called Kaleidoscope, and it's on from the 16th to the 29th of August at 9:15 in the evening at the George next door, and then also at 4:55 in the afternoon in the basement of Chiquito's Mexican restaurant.
If people don't know a great deal about the Edinburgh Festival, it might sound like you've just kind of made that up.
But they're actually very prestigious venues.
Yeah. Especially the Chiquito's.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. We'll be back next week. It's been Ross and Josh. Have a lovely weekend. Or Josh will come round and make sure you do.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.